talking. We're going talking today where things are popping. The Marian way, we're going to drop in on discussions of the day on the Exchange Club. Exchange Club, we're going debating. We're going to debate very loud and we'll be laughing and floating high on a cloud. Phones are ringing from listeners all around on the Exchange Club. Exchange Club, and we'll guess and goof and talk on Exchange. Read, debate, and think it's Exchange. Tune in, we're on. Turn on, I'm in. It's on today, the Exchange Club.
And we're back here on this Getaway Friday, January 23rd, 2026. How about that? 14 minutes past the hour. Joined in studio by Matt Morgan. And you on the toll-free line, 740-383-9944. Well, we've certainly covered the waterfront today. Miranda McGinnis resigning as city auditor this week. We've talked about Jason Schauber's run for county commissioner, which he announced on Monday morning. We've talked about the Ayers-Ratliff trial, which apparently is in progress here in Marion. We've talked about people saying they love you on a PA system at schools. Is that sincere or insincere? Do people like it? Do people not like it? We've talked about what is news, what is tabloid. We've talked about sincerity of people when they're asking if you're okay, do you need help, blah, blah, blah. So we've went around the waterfront here, even you running for office. 740-383-9944. Give us a buzz if you have any thoughts on anything or anything else you would like us to talk about. So there you go.
We're talking about bullying.
Bullying, which I don't think we got very far with that.
I mean,
what is bullying and what is just being rude, I guess, was the point there.
Well, I mean, I don't disagree, but I don't know.
Should mention we will be on tonight live, 8:15 to 10 p.m., and then Matt will be on 10:15 to 11 with, local topics and sports?
Yep.
And the local topics tonight will be?
Well, I mean, we'll probably bring this up on the off chance somebody hasn't heard it. Bring this back up. Bring up the county commissioner's race with, now that Jason has gotten in. That kind of thing.
Sounds like fun.
Yeah.
Well, good shows tonight here on the station and live, as we are each and every Friday night. I don't know. You know, I just look at the whole picture right now, and I think we are an interesting society.
I think the whole world is rather interesting right now.
I was having a conversation yesterday with somebody about the governor's race. I said, are you a Ramaswamy person? Because this will be the first election, I think, for governor that they can vote in. And I said, so where do you come down in that race? And they really had no idea. So, you know, I think that's interesting. Because we're not really all that far away.
Like, do they just not know anything about him? Or?
Didn't seem to. Felt that they needed to do some homework on him. But they did say something interesting. They said, I am going to vote for all the Democrats statewide. I think what they meant was Democrats like congressional and senators, which in Ohio would just be senators.
I would wager to bet they're going to vote for Amy Acton.
Probably. 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 But I thought, well, that's where the young people are. That's interesting. Just unhappy with Trump is basically what the person said.
But the people you're getting out of office aren't Trump.
No, but they feel that if Congress and the Senate would go a different way, that he would have a check and a balance on him.
Oh, I'm dumb. For some reason, I thought you meant like the 86th district, like representative races and things. You're talking about the actual Senate.
Yeah, the Senate.
Race.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, but I thought it was interesting though, because you know, once again, I always say politics has become top down, And for somebody who is very young, voting for the first time in a gubernatorial race, it is top down. They don't know anything about the governor's race, but they certainly know that they want to vote for all Democrats when it comes to congressional and Senate races because they are not a Trump fan.
I don't necessarily agree with that logic, but okay.
Well, no, I wasn't asking you to agree with it. I was just telling you what they said.
Well, yeah, I understand. I was just, yeah.
That's what I'm saying. It's always top down. And I don't know why we become a top down society when it comes to politics, but we have.
I think bottom up makes more sense.
Doesn't anymore.
No, it makes more sense.
You feel
the effects from local government so much faster than you do now.
Yeah, but no, if I would go ask somebody who their council person was or who their county commissioners are or who their prosecutor is or any of that, they don't know.
That's upsetting.
But they know who the governor is. They knew who the president is.
So you think if somebody just ran for, like, I don't know, council or county commissioner or, you know, any of the local offices and just campaigned on national issues, they could win?
Probably. I don't think people would. Yeah, because I don't know the last time a local candidate won on local issues.
It doesn't make any sense.
Give me.
I have no say in national issues.
Yeah, but I'm saying, give me. Okay, of all the people, the last city council race, what was anybody's platform locally?
Well, I don't know. What do you mean?
What did Danny Clark run on? What did Scott Kreider run on? What did who else was in that race? Aaron Rollins run on. What did Bill Dichtel run on? What did Ron Prater run on? What did Anthony Azaria run on? What were their big local issues?
There weren't.
Oh, wonder why.
I think you could run and make your main local issue the finances.
But nobody cares.
I think you're gonna care when
there are people who believe the auditor was stealing money.
Like Miranda?
Yeah. I mean, I ran into somebody last weekend who asked me that. A very well-educated person.
They think Miranda stole money.
Because that's what they read on social media, you see.
You can't use social media as a news
but
site.
But they do because people don't pay for the Marian Star. Not everybody listens to us. And if people put junk, that's why putting junk, that's I guess my point is, you know, you can put junk out there on social media, I guess, but you are contributing to the dumbing down of society. And I don't think that that is necessarily something you want your name tied in. Maybe you do.
I was talking to one of my friends the other night, and he referred to the United States as the United States of incompetence.
Well, I don't know if we're incompetent.
Well, I just thought it was funny.
I don't think we pay attention. I mean, I don't know why we don't pay attention, but we don't.
I don't know. I mean, I guess it depends on who you talk to. I think most people probably don't pay attention. I mean, only half the population votes.
Well, that's fine. I mean, you know, that's the way it goes, but even that group is not all that informed.
Yeah.
I mean, what do you really know about Vivek Ramaswamy and Amy Acton, and you're already making sweeping decisions about them?
Well, I mean, Vivek Ramaswamy, I think he owned it, but I'm not 100% sure, so I'll say he was the CEO, at the very least, of a pharmaceutical company. I know he's a billionaire. He went on tour with Charlie Kirk, and I think Candace Owens was there. He was supposed to head up Doge with Elon Musk, but then he came back to Ohio to run for governor. He wants to expand some, I don't remember the exact visa, but it's a foreign work visa. He wants to expand that. I mean, you know, he's said that he wants to get rid of income tax, but I'd like to see him try.
So these are why you don't like him.
I just don't trust him. I don't believe anything he says. He's like, he's a Trump crony. He's Trump light, in my opinion. Why would I have? I don't like Trump. Why would I want Trump light?
And what do you know about Amy Acton?
Not really anything. She doesn't say anything.
Okay, so how can you make a judgment if you don't know anything?
Well, that's why I said she doesn't excite me. She hasn't said anything.
Right, but you've said that, but how can you be excited about nothing?
Okay, let me rephrase it then, I guess, if you don't like the phraseology. As of this moment, she has done nothing to excite me. She's been in the race for a while.
So basically you're saying at this point, it can never be Vivek. There's nothing he could do.
Yes, I would not vote for Vivek.
Okay.
Wouldn't happen.
But Amy Acton, there is something she could do, but she might not do it.
Yeah.
Okay.
There's a fair chance I could vote for Amy Acton. I just don't, as of right now, I don't know what that's, you know, not looking too hot.
Well, if you don't know anything, how do you know? I'm sure she's going to say something at some point.
Well, I'm not going to elect her just because she's not Vivek. What if I elect her and then I...
Well, this gets into the whole conversation we were having the other night. This idea that you got to be in love with the candidate is silly to me.
I have to at least like one of her policies. I don't know any of her policies.
No, but I'm saying people... This is what you blame the people who don't vote. Well, essentially, they're just saying what you're saying. These people don't excite me. I don't need to do this. But then people who... You can't find one being less worse than the other?
I think people only pay attention to the top of the ticket. That's the problem.
Well, that's the top of the ticket.
I would show up, okay? And if I didn't like either of the gubernatorial candidates, I just wouldn't vote for one. And then I'd pick my Senate selection, and I'd pick my representative selection, and I would just... Skip the ballot on that
one. Okay, well, I guess here's my point in this. What do you think Vivek would do that would hurt Ohio, which I guess is why you're not voting for him? You can't think he'd be good for the state if you absolutely would not vote for him.
Well, like I said, I mean, he's Trump-like. I don't believe anything he says.
Okay, so how would Amy Acton hurt the state with what you're saying? Go ahead, caller.
Hate the politician, but... Love your city.
As always.
So what did I miss in this morning's exchange of whatever?
Well, we went through it all. We went back through the auditor's resignation, Jason Schauber running for county commissioner. We went through the Ayers Ratliff trial being in session now. We went through...
Did they seat a jury?
I believe they did, yes.
When did they seat the jury?
I think it was Wednesday.
Wednesday?
Tuesday or Wednesday.
And Wednesday was voir dire, where they were selecting the jury, right?
One of those days. Tuesday or Wednesday. I can't remember which. One of them.
Yeah. Well, it's going to be interesting to see what the reporting's like compared to the observations of those in attendance at the trial.
Well, I think usually... Depending on the relationship to the person, when you look at somebody's observations, you can get an idea of where they are.
Well, just remember, wherever you go, there you are.
Well, I guess the question is, the big question this morning, because Miranda, in her resignation letter, talked about her mental health being hurt by being in this position. Do you think that they bullied her downtown and did things that were above and beyond what was needed to say that
now,
we don't...
You have been to many, many council meetings, committee meetings, etc. Now, wasn't there one time, and I think it was possibly they were climbing all over Tommy Reese when he wasn't there. Now, didn't somebody object to that? That they shouldn't do it with his absence. They should do it when he's there.
I think Jason did.
Yeah. Well, it's unfortunate that when this occurred, somebody didn't stand up and say that about bad-mouthing her when she's not there to defend herself. I think that if I were an attorney and practiced labor law, I would be getting in touch with Amanda because the administration the whole city hall had made a hostile work environment for her, and I would be suing them till they can't take it anymore.
Well, it's an interesting point. Thanks for calling.
Yep.
Phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. Well, there's another thought for hostile work environment, bullying. And by the way, one of our listeners out there this morning said, given our current political climate, I want a candidate that is not exciting.
I don't mean entertaining. I mean, like, I like the policies that they claim to have to stand for. I wouldn't elect somebody because they're entertaining. That's how you end up with Donald Trump.
Well, the word you use, but that's what you said, though. Exciting.
Excites me. Like, they say something that excites me. Like, if somebody were to run for president and, like, swear up, down, left, right, sideways that they were gonna get, like, you know, big money out of politics or something, I'd be a big fan of that.
I think money's
ruined the politics.
I guess the point I'm making, whether you like it or not, the Democrat and the Republican is gonna win. So you're gonna have a governor.
I understand.
Okay. So, if I look at that and I go, I think one of these people is gonna do damage to this state. Now, the other one, I don't know, but I'm almost positive that one's going to do damage. I'm probably going to vote for the one that's not going to do damage. Because I know that if I don't vote for the one that's not going to do damage, the one that's going to do damage is going to have a better chance to win.
I'm not going to vote for a candidate I don't like.
No, but then you get a candidate you really don't like. See, that's why I don't understand that logic. It just is convoluted logic to me. Because there are going to be races in life where nobody jumps off the page. That's just going to be the case. But if somebody jumps off the page as bad, like, let's say I don't want chicken for dinner. But you give me chicken and you give me gravy.
Okay.
Well, I'm not eating the gravy. There's no way. Because I don't like the gravy. So I'll eat the chicken, even though I don't want it, because it's better than the gravy, and I have to eat dinner.
I don't know. I mean, I understand what you're saying, but like...
And then, I know that if I don't eat the chicken quick, all that's going to be left is the gravy, so I'm going to get the gravy. I don't want the gravy.
I understand what you're saying, but I
think that's actually how we've gotten the politicians we've got recently. People have stayed home. People say, I'm not excited.
Yeah, but I'm not. See, but again, I'm not going to stay home.
No, but if you abstain from a vote, that's essentially what you would do.
I would. I stayed home for one vote.
Right, but you're saying, I do not want Vivek under any circumstances. I don't know about Amy Acton. Get to election day, Amy Acton didn't excite you, so you don't vote for either one. Chances are Vivek's going to win. So now you got the one you really didn't want.
I don't know about that. I don't think my vote means.
Well, you say that, but then enough people do that, and
that's my logic also. I mean, a whole bunch of people, yes. I mean, I have a whole bunch of friends who are like, I don't vote because what's my one vote matter? And I'm like, you know, at least like at least 30% of the country feels, why do I? Yeah, because like, you know,
if
30% voted, it would matter.
And that's ultimately the problem that we've had recently. Go ahead, caller.
You know what would really make voting interesting to get people to vote?
What's that?
Number one, if they show their ID that they can vote and they are registered to vote, after they vote, they get a check for $100. I think that would be interesting to see just how many people would come and vote and see what the outcome of the election would be.
Well, I think the problem is that if you're paying people to vote, then you really are just getting people who are showing up for the check and really don't have a clue what they're voting for.
But they're getting up and they're voting.
Yeah, but if they don't know what they're voting for, how is this a better situation?
How do you know that those that wouldn't be paid to vote know what they're voting for?
I mean,
you don't.
Exactly.
But why increase the numbers of uninformed people?
Well, the fact of the matter is, you know, you at least have voters turning up to vote. And I would bet you, I seriously doubt that you would get that many more people to vote with consistency from the primary to the general than the following year, and to follow and track that. I'm sure they'll all get to the point of being lazy and it's not worth $100 to get my vote.
No, but I kind of see voting like a movie. You know, that if you really want to see that movie, you'll go and you'll see that movie. If you really don't want to go see that movie, you're not going to go see that movie. Now,
yeah, but unfortunately, when you go see a movie and you don't like it, you've already spent the money. Whereas if you went and you voted, you don't really care who wins as long as you get the $100.
Oh, I don't think that's true. Yeah. I don't think that's true at all. I think there are a lot of people who vote and then say, boy, I made the wrong mistake. There's a person here at the station who I know voted for somebody the last time around and absolutely regrets their vote now.
Well, there's no way. That's why the voting time frame should be short. It shouldn't be drug out over a year, 18 months, or however long it is. And we've got some politicians locally here that are campaigning every damn day. It's unbelievable. So, now there's got to be a better way for voting, a better way of vetting these people that are running. Because I think we've proven out with Marion City Council, good intentions without the wherewithal ain't going to cut it anymore. And look where we are because of that.
Yeah, but you see, you understand, they think they're doing a good job, and the people who voted for them think they're doing a good job. So that's unfortunately how it works, even though you may not feel they're doing a good job.
Pol Pot thought he was doing a good job. Stalin, Mussolini, Dojo, they all thought they were doing a good job.
But I'm saying, if the people who show up to vote think they're doing a good job, and they feel they're doing a good job, that's how it works in this country. And
just think how blind the voters would have been before mass media, before the telegraph, when all they had were the local newspapers, and how they voted for George Washington, who was the opposition, voting for Congress and that. Just think how uninformed those people were.
Well, here's the problem. I've always said, if you took people's names off the ballot and you just put their qualifications, half the people wouldn't vote for the people they vote for.
Well, if you put a product label on, like the contents of anything in a grocery store, and you had label A, B, C, D, and you read their contents, how many people would read the contents and vote according to what the content is?
Well, that's what I'm saying. It depends on what you're basing it on. So you're just never going to get exactly what you want, but you get what you deserve, I guess.
Well, the thing is, everybody wants the perfect silver bullet solution, and there isn't one. You have to take, it's like a marriage. It's like dating. You have to look at that person. If you really want to spend the rest of your life with that person, you have to accept some of the faults of that person. You know, like snoring in the middle of the night, ear hair, nose hair, etc., all kinds of things. So I think maybe most people, if they look at something logically, okay, well, I don't like Trump because he's orange. He's got that hair, fake hair. He's bald. But I like some of the things he does. I don't know. It's one of those things. You vote for someone that quite possibly can do some of the things that are important to you. Hopefully, those things get accomplished.
Well, but I think the problem is, when you marry somebody, a lot of times you don't know that they're going to have an affair down the road, and if you'd known that, you wouldn't have married them, and that might be your deal breaker.
Look, this innuendo against Bill Clinton is unwarranted, Scott. Come on now.
Oh, I certainly don't think that was against Bill Clinton.
Well, the implication.
No, no. Trust me, we've had presidents after Bill Clinton who've had affairs.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, we've got one right now.
Who? What?
Yeah, well, the president, the current president has had affairs and admitted to them.
Well, he admitted to them.
Yeah, so did Bill.
But he did not have sex with that woman.
You know?
Right.
Well, okay.
Yep. All I can say is, if fellatio ain't oral sex, I don't know what is.
Thank you.
Anyways, hey, let's have a great weekend and avoid the snow.
You know, it's interesting how people get hung up on that with Bill Clinton. I don't really understand. Yes, Bill Clinton had affairs. There's no doubt about it.
JFK had affairs.
JFK had affairs. President Harding had affairs. Had a child, by the way, with his affairs and denied it. Eisenhower had affairs. Lyndon Johnson had affairs. Donald Trump had affairs. I just, it's beyond me why that gets stuck more to Bill Clinton any other.
I just think it was because of how it all happened with the Bill Clinton situation, and then not to mention that you know, the Monica Lewinsky interview is still like the most watched interview.
Well, it is, because it was salacious at the time. You didn't think anything like that could happen with a president.
I mean, the story, like, I watched the interview. Like, it's wild. I mean, it's a wild interview.
Right, but I mean, we in this country now argue on if a insurrection happened on January the 6th.
Funnily enough, the White House's, like, I don't know, archives, whatever you want to call it, their archive of January 6th talks about how peaceful protesters were wrongfully arrested. I don't know the exact terminology, but wrongfully arrested in that by the Biden Department of Justice. In that when Trump got in, he pardoned like 1,500 American patriots.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. If you think that in the last 30 years the biggest thing that's happened in this country is Bill Clinton's escapade in the Oval Office, you know, I think knocking down the Capitol just about and destroying it was a far worse day than that. But, you know what? Everybody's got their own opinion. Go ahead, caller.
You almost slipped there on insurrection, didn't you?
What about it?
It sounded like you caught yourself before you said erection.
Oh, no, I don't think so. Yeah. That was certainly wasn't on my mind.
Here's the question. Now, did Trump have an affair while president?
I don't really know. I think we'll probably find out.
I don't think he did. I think this was...
I know he's been convicted of sexual assault. I don't know of any other president that had that.
I think he did this when he was king of New York City.
But have we ever had a president who was convicted of sexual assault?
Now, are you sure about that?
Because I'm absolutely sure about that. E. Jean Carroll.
Wasn't he... Didn't he win in...
No. He has not won anything in that case. And a matter of fact, the judge, because of his continual rants about it...
But the question, was he president at the time that infraction occurred?
No.
Okay.
So...
That's kind of a big difference between sitting presidents screwing around, which, hey, you know...
I'm pretty sure Kennedy was.
We don't elect saints, and we never will.
Well, I guess that's my point, so why...
Well, unless we all turn to Catholicism, and the United States is where the Pope lives...
The Vatican?
I can't think of anything. The Vatican, yeah, unless we become the Vatican and we have a pope for the whole country.
Yeah, but I guess what I don't understand is why does... You're right, we don't elect saints. So why does that get stuck more to Bill Clinton than anybody else when clearly...
Well, he's the most recent and, you know, realistically, arrogantly pointing his finger, etc., and denying it.
So you expected him to tell the truth?
When I still hold to the fact, if he would have said... I'm ashamed of what I did. I should not have done that. I'm sorry I did that. It will not happen again.
So,
however, with that stigma and the whole thing, now he's tied up with all of this Epstein stuff. But the fact of the matter is, we've got to stop looking for saints. Judge people by their deeds, you know, by the good that they do. And if there's something illegal, well, then slam them for doing something illegal. But
I think that's what we were doing.
For moral stuff like that, hey, you know, come on. They're human beings.
Well, that was my point, Bill Clinton left the economy in a better place than any president has in the last 50 years. And yet, what's the first thing that comes to mind? Exactly what you said. His one transgression, which had nothing to do with his job as president. Not the fact that he left the country with a surplus, or balanced the budget, or worked with the Republicans, or was elected twice.
The egregious thing was he stared the cameras in the eye. I did not have improper relations with her, etc., something to that effect. He boldly lied.
So do you think
So
do you think that George W. Bush and Trump never looked at the camera and lied?
Who's calling them out and tell me what the lie was?
Weapons of mass destruction, and we can get probably 7-18 rooms of Trump lies. I mean, just depending on the day.
That compared to a...
Who's running Venezuela right
that
now?
That compared to a one-on-one tete-a-tete with Monica Lewinsky in the Oval Office doesn't even compare. The president, he had egg all over his face with the weapons of mass destruction, was depending upon the intelligence reports that they had, which were obviously bad intel, and he comes out looking like a boob, you know?
Well, he did, but cost a lot of people's lives, and lied to Colin Powell when he was sent down.
Hillary?
What are you talking about, Hillary?
Yeah.
Hillary lied about what?
You said cost a bunch of lives. Didn't Hillary's fun stuff cost a lot of people their lives? I can't think of the name of the African nation or the Egyptian, Beirut.
Are you talking about Benghazi, which she went and testified in front of Congress and was found guilty of nothing?
Yeah, Benghazi.
Went and testified in front of Congress and didn't find anything?
Loads of investigations.
Well, why are they running now?
Who's running?
Hilly and Billy.
Well, I guess I would wonder, as I said, I'm not sure if it's the right thing to deny a congressional subpoena, but I also am not sure why all the people like Trump, who also appear in Epstein pictures and far more documents, have not been subpoenaed to testify.
What pictures? I'm getting conflicting stories. I see one story, Epstein and Trump, and then I hear stories, Trump only had Epstein down at Mar-a-Lago, and he told Epstein to leave because he was doing something with the personnel down there.
No, I don't think so.
And that Trump never went to that island.
I don't know if he went to the island or not, but I know that there are certainly a lot of pictures and certainly a lot of emails that he appears in.
I mean, there was a whole story not too long ago about a Donald Trump drew wrote a poem in like the outline of a woman and sent it to Jeffrey Epstein. Like they were chums. They were friends.
Yeah, do we know the actual origin of that email?
Exactly. So why is Trump not being called to testify?
That's the problem. Well, with them not showing up to testify.
Okay.
Don't you find it completely amazing and baffling? Hillary's an attorney. Billy is an attorney.
Yeah.
Why not? They know the importance they're being called for a deposition in a court of law.
I don't think the House Judiciary Committee is a court of law.
I saw it was in court.
No, no court.
To do a deposition in court. That's the news article I read.
That's incorrect. The only place they've ever been subpoenaed
ABC
is...
ABC News is wrong?
What?
ABC News is wrong?
Okay, well, look, I guess we can look it up,
that.
If that's
ABC
a new thing.
ABC News.
Okay, and they
but
have...
At any rate, I find it totally astounding that, here, two seasoned attorneys think they don't have to go to court to be deposed.
Yeah, but we have to go by the facts. I don't know that that's true, because I do know that when subpoenaed by Congress, that they did give sworn testimony. They just did not do it in front of Congress. They signed affidavits, and they sent letters stating why they didn't feel it was necessary or important for them to testify. And they did say that when you call everybody else, including the current president, then we will come.
Did they take off to Scotland like the news is talking about?
Well, I don't know if they did or not. But I would worry if I saw what the Justice Department was doing in this country if I were them.
What's got you worried about that?
That they didn't invite or investigate what happened in Minnesota, refused to do it, that they have laid indictments down on people like James Comey that they had to go back on, that they, Letitia James, that they had to go back on. That would make me a little nervous.
Well, you know, the thing that is still astounding, here we're trying to enforce immigration law and just going after people who are in violation of it. And we have all these people saying they want to keep the rapists,
the
murderers, all of the miscreants that jurisdiction in Minneapolis and in Minnesota has...
Hold on.
Let them go.
We're trying to get facts here. So did you find the ABC story that they've refused to go to court?
No, not... It was about that it was a deposition.
Refused to give
court,
a deposition in court?
Which I thought was kind of strange. Depositions aren't necessarily given in court. You have a separate...
So what do we got?
Separate hearing or
whatever. Let's hear what Matt's found here.
It's the they were subpoenaed by the chairman of the House Committee on Oversight and Government Reform.
Right.
So that's where they would have been giving testimony. And it says that they sent in let me try to find the quote real fast. Basically, it said that they sent in sworn testimony, but they didn't go. Yeah, a spokesperson for the Clintons said they've made ample attempts to comply with the committee, sending sworn statements from each Clinton, as other subpoenaed witnesses have, and offering a closed-door interview between Bill Clinton, Comer, and Representative Robert Garcia, the top Democrat on the panel.
Yeah, but I'll have to see if I can find that again, but it was ABC News. And they said it was a deposition.
That's what we're reading it from, ABC News.
Well, Scott, how many people do they have posting stories?
Well, I would hope the people over at ABC aren't posting conflicting stories.
Do what now?
So I would hope the people over at ABC aren't posting conflicting stories on the same website.
Well, hey, sometimes the left hand doesn't know what the right hand's doing. I mean, my God, look at what goofball Don Lemon's doing. Jeez.
Well, again, we got a listener. He lost by the way, on the Trump thing, from one of our listeners here. He lost in civil court. Even in civil court, you have the proof in order to win the case. He was found liable of sexual assault. They have a running count of all the lies Trump has said since he's taken office. So that's from one of our listeners out there.
Well, good. Why don't they post them like Martin Luther did his thesis?
I think they have. As a matter of fact, the AP posted a whole thing after, like, the 100 days of it's, like, the it was the lies of Donald Trump in the first 100 days of office, and they were, like, 200 and something.
You know, the bottom line is, this side lies, that side lies. They've all got a big ball of confusion, and it's nothing more than the old tug of war, us and them. And the taxpayers are the ones,
by the way,
that suffer.
Another listener, not the same one. Our president is a rapist and a convicted felon. So that's from people listening out there.
I'd like to know why they base it. He's a racist.
Rapist.
Oh, a rapist. I don't think he was... he wasn't found guilty of rape, was it?
Sexual assault.
Okay. Because if he was found with rape, he'd be in prison.
Well, I think the statute of limitations runs out on that.
Well, I don't know. Bill Cosby might know better than us. But the fact of the matter is, the ABC article that I read, and that's what was kind of strange, because of depositions, I'd never heard of a deposition in live court. You give testimony. Depositions, all they do, that's a part of the discovery process.
Right, which is...
So that when they get to court. So, you know.
All right. Well, hey, thanks for calling.
Later.
All right. Phone lines are open, 740-383-9944, 54 minutes past the hour. You know, I don't know. And again, I guess this comes down to news. That's one of the problems, again, with misleading people, is people are going to believe what they want to believe based upon their political beliefs, which is where this started, which is why when people go and vote, are they informed? I don't know.
Well, I mean, I think that there are informed people.
There are, but are the majority? I don't know.
Probably not.
But the point is, you can vote for whoever you want,
yeah.
So good. But I think we do have a lot of false equivalencies going on.
But also, as far as, like, I mean, I know this was a while back, but the whole, like, paying people to vote. I think if we're going to do that instead of paying people to vote, we might as well just make it mandatory that you have to vote. But then at that point, there's, like... I figured that there'd be, like, Supreme Court, like, you know, there'd be challenges because, like, freedom of expression, voting, I guess, would probably be considered a expression.
I don't know why more uninformed voters is a good idea.
I think more voters is always a good idea, personally.
I just so you can show up to get the money or show up because you're being forced? I mean, I don't think that's a good idea.
That's what Australia does.
If you could get more people interested...
Australia mandates voting. You have to do it.
Well, that's fine. But I think that if you could interest people, that needs to be your target, not just to get people to show up. You need to find some way to interest people in voting.
Well, yeah, that'd be, you know, just better, I guess.
I say, if 95% of people voted in the last election. Okay, well, how many knew what they were voting for?
They see ads.
Okay, well, that's good.
I mean, I think most people probably
God knows those
ads.
Are all right. I don't know. I just think the Bill Clinton thing fascinates me, that has become such a thing. Maybe it was the television age. I don't know. First president in the real television age to get caught in something like that. And it's also why I think history, I've always said, history will not look well on Donald Trump because of television, because of the internet, because it's everywhere. You know, it's constant misinformation, information, attacking, blah, blah, blah. I don't think that has a good, I don't think it holds up well over time.
Well, I know that the White House, like, their archives is very much, you know, it's been changed.
But here's the thing about all that. You think the next person's not going to change it back?
Well, but I think the implication is it's like 1984, you know. If you control the past, you control... if you control the present, you control the past and the future.
Right, but who controls the present next?
Well, I mean, we just gotta hope they go back to actually doing the job.
Why do you think no president ever did stuff like this in the 250-year history of this country? I mean, that's a long time, and a lot of different men, and a lot of different political parties, and a lot of different eras who never tried to do anything like this.
I don't know. I mean, it is overly complicated in a way. I mean, Donald Trump had to get the majority of his people elected. Not just like the Republicans, like his people, Trump loyalists.
Yeah.
And then he also like just appointed whoever did what he wanted.
Well, I think it all stems.
I mean, I guess they could have probably done that. I mean, as far as appointments go, I'm sure that other presidents could have just appointed yes men.
Well, I think it stemmed from the destruction of the Republican Party, which clearly was not very strong prior to Donald Trump, because that group of people could not keep their infrastructure together.
I was a much bigger fan of the old Republican Party.
No, I'm saying you can't take over a party that is not a weak party. So that, I mean, like or dislike the Democratic Party, who's taken it over or changed it? I mean, even in their weakest moments, I don't know who did that.
I don't know. I think it's happened.
I think policies have changed, but I don't think anybody completely changed the ideals and were absolutely frightened by the head of the party that they would take them out of office if they disagreed with them.
I don't know. I mean, I wasn't around for FDR, but that sounds like an FDR strategy.
Yeah, but how did he change the party from where it was when Woodrow Wilson was in office?
Well, I mean, FDR put like a lot more on the social programs and things like that.
Well, I mean, it's because of the times.
Well, the social programs are still around, and boy, how do the Democrats love to cling on to those things?
So nobody's changed it.
Well, yeah, since FDR.
They could have.
Well, FDR took it over then.
Why don't I mean, I? How do we know Woodrow Wilson wouldn't have been for those? Teddy Roosevelt certainly was not, he was a Republican, but he most likely would have been a Democrat.
The Monopoly Buster.
Right. But he was a Republican when he ran and was president.
Well, yeah, it's because, you know, the free market.
But that changed. We're done for the day, but we'll be back tonight, 8:15 to 10. Matt will be on, and I'll be on, and then tonight he'll be on 10 to 11. It'll be cold. It'll be cold while we're here. But we'll be back because everything else will be hot. Scott Spears heading for the dugout.
Well, I don't say it keeps me up at night. I think that nobody likes criticism, but sometimes it's very...